presence. So, Father, we lift up our pastor right now. We pray, Father, that you would anoint him, that you would bless him as he brings forth this word today. Lord, that you would work in our life and that you would soften our heart and that we'd find that sweet repose with you next to the streams of living water. Father, we pray that you would lead us and guide us through the valleys of darkness. Lord, that we would be in your presence. Lord, that we would feast at your table, that you would anoint our head with oil, our cup would overflow, and that goodness and mercy would follow us. Lord, take this word, feed us today. We receive it as it truly is, the word of God, and we thank you for it. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, everything we've been talking about, as you should know by now, this year has been about the Holy Spirit. And every single one of us here today, or anyone listening to this message, needs to know that our walk with God, as far as it, you know, as far as our walk with God is concerned, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, there is no walk with God. You know, truly, I mean, without the Holy Spirit, we're really not walking with God. I mean, there's no real relationship. We're not two walking together in agreement. And every time we relate to God, we need to know this, that if we're somehow connecting or relating to God, somewhere in there the Holy Spirit is involved in that. Romans 8:9 makes it very clear. It says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. It's all part of God's great master plan. This is the way that Christ lives in us. This is the way that God works in us and moves in us. It's through His Holy Spirit. And that's why we're never alone. In John 14:7, it says, for He lives with you and will be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is a promise from God. It's a promise from God that that's what's going to happen. Acts 2:39 says, this promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, that would be us, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. So if you've been called by God, and you've given your heart to God, the Holy Spirit is there with you. Acts 2:17 tells us that God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. He means on, you know, on all those of His. We just have to ask Him. That's our part in this. We ask Him. Luke 11:9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now that was said for a very specific reason. He goes on to say, which of you fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? See, he's comparing that the fish is good, especially the perch at Prush's, and as compared to the snake, which is not something. You don't, you know, somebody asks for food, you don't throw a snake in their hand. And then he says, or if somebody asks for an egg, which tells you that eggs are good. You know, this is a there are ways we can, there's things in the Bible we can see. If you remember years ago, they talked about eggs not being good for us. I said, that's crazy, because the Bible tells us that eggs are good for us. It doesn't say eat eggs in the Bible. It doesn't say you should eat eggs. But it says, if you ask for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Now, he's making a comparison. Something good, something not good. Egg is good, scorpion is not good. So I know then, but there's an inference there that these eggs are good. And then it says, if you then, though you are evil, talking about, you know, sin-filled man, that, you know, not necessarily that we're evil, but of course we know the inclination of our heart is towards evil. And he's talking about normal fathers. And he's saying, then if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So now he's comparing the fathers here, natural human fathers, compared with this father. So we see this comparison all the way through. The best, not the best. The best, not the best. The best, not the best. And now we got God, the best, giving us the Holy Spirit. So it's up to us. If we want more of God's Spirit, what he's saying is just you need to ask for it. You need to seek it. You need to knock and open up that door. You need to find some way to get the Holy Spirit. We're told in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. And so what God is telling us is work at it. Go for it. Get filled. It's not doesn't just happen. We don't just sit there and the Holy Spirit just, you know, is coming and pouring and falling all over us. We have to be diligent. We have to work at it because if you remember, we've talked about this, for the Holy Spirit to come in, the flesh has to go out. So we got to get rid of more of the natural man, more of the misdeeds of the body, more of the flesh, the human carnal nature, so that more of the Spirit can come in. It's by faith that we receive the promise of the Spirit, according to Galatians 3:14. We believe it, and it's true. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen how the Holy Spirit can help us to pray more powerfully and effectively. We saw that Jesus, the righteous one, as he's called, was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. There was no limits in him, and because of that, his prayers were powerful and effective because he prayed what he heard the Father speak. He did what the Father told him. He had this perfect connection because he was filled without measure. And so when he prayed, it happened. We saw that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, according to James 5:16, and that as Christians, we do have this righteousness that comes from God by faith in Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how this righteousness comes to us. And we saw that the Holy Spirit actually works in us to help us grow in righteousness. And we say, well, I thought we were already made righteous. Well, we were. We were made righteous as far as salvation, but there is a work that is ongoing in us, this process of sanctification where we're growing in righteousness. And in fact, it talks about this in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says that the Scriptures, which were brought about by the Holy Spirit, can help to train us in righteousness. So, see, we can grow in righteousness. And in fact, there's another Scripture that talks about God's discipline, and out of that discipline, it'll produce the harvest of righteousness, that rod and staff that Pastor Don was talking about. We also saw that when we don't know how or we aren't sure how to pray, the Holy Spirit can help us there too. That's why God's words tells us in Romans 8:26-27, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through groans. And then it says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So you see, the Holy Spirit helps us. He gets the mind of God and he speaks to us and he prays, that helps us to pray then in accordance with the will of God if we allow him to. The Holy Spirit is God's great revealer. He's the one who reveals to us the heart and the mind of God so that we can pray as God wants us to pray, not as our flesh wants us to pray, because our flesh just prays to pamper the flesh. When our flesh is praying, it's praying to build up the flesh. But when we're praying as we're led by the Spirit, then we're praying to build up the Spirit and to build God's kingdom. So today I want to continue learning more about prayer and discover what actually happens when we begin to pray. The very first thing that we need to know, or that we need to keep in our mind when we start to pray, is that according to Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. Otherwise, why would we pray? If we don't believe that something is possible, why even ask? Why bother praying if there's no way it's going to happen? So we have to start out with this premise that God can do all things. That there's nothing impossible. With man, it may be impossible. That's what the Word tells us. But with God, all things are possible. When Jesus was asked if he could do anything to help a young boy that was possessed by an evil spirit, they said, "If you can," he goes, "If I can, of course I can." He goes, "If I can," he goes, "everything is possible for him who believes." Now, let me ask you a question. Does that mean that if we just believe, we get anything we want? If we just believe hard enough, we just got to believe harder. We got to pound harder. We got to speak it out louder. We got to scream it. We got to tell everybody. And then if we believe hard enough, we're going to get that new car. We're going to get that house. We're going to get that husband. We're going to get that wife. We're going to get all that money in the bank. Well, I'm sorry to say, that isn't the way it works. It's not just a matter of believing, just believing anything. It's a matter of believing God. Believing God when He speaks to us. Believing God's Word. Because it's with God that all things are possible. It's not just because we want something and we're living in our fantasy land. I went and saw that this Christmas over in Lincoln Park, Fantasyland. It's with God that all things are possible. So let me ask you a question. Is prayer, as a means of communicating with God, deficient in some way? Is prayer itself deficient? Is it the prayer that's doesn't work? Is it prayer that's not good? No, it's not prayer. Is there anything at all that God could not answer through prayer? No. It's just we have to ask the right things. It's not as long as our prayers coincide with God's will and His purpose, prayer works. See, it's not prayer that doesn't work. We get mixed up and we say, "I prayed, it doesn't work." It's not that prayer doesn't work, it's the prayer, the prayer. The one who's praying is the one who's not working right or functioning right or asking right. Some people have come up with some crazy reasons why people pray, why we should pray. I've heard people say that believing in God and prayer are nothing more than a scheme devised by the wealthy or rulers or leaders to keep the masses content and satisfied. Oh, just go pray and everything will be okay. Don't revolt. Don't, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Some people say that prayer is just a discipline that makes us a better person. You should pray. It's good for you. It makes you a better person. In fact, some people actually think of it as a mental exercise, like with yoga or something like that. Meditation or prayer. Oh, it's good. Say, you know, prayers, meditate, whatever you want to call it. Just go ahead and pray. Say whatever you want. Say om for an hour, you know. Or if you talk to some spiritual being, then go ahead. It's good for you. That's not why we pray. Some people seem to think that prayer is good because it makes other people feel better when you go visit them in the hospital. There's studies that have been done that actually show, literally show, that people in hospitals get better when people go pray for them. So the scientists have to explain this, not that God is doing it. It's prayer just makes you feel better because now you know that someone came and cares about you. It uplifts you, and so naturally you're going to get better quicker. That's not right. Some people think of prayer as penance. When I was a young boy, I went to a Catholic church, and I went in there every time into confession, and I said the same thing. You know, I hit my sister, I lied, I did this, I did that, whatever. Okay, I want you to go say 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, and 2 Acts of Contrition. Our Father, we're in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed art thou. You know, you say it as fast as you can, so you can get over with it, and okay, now I'm better, right? It was a penance. Is that what prayer is for? None of those are the reasons that God asks us to pray. Prayer was designed by God. You know, He's the one who thought it up. He's the one who came up with the idea simply as a way or a means to communicate with His people. Basically, that's what it is. He's saying, we need to talk. Let's get together and talk. So we talk to Him. We share our heart. We share our concerns. We share our needs. We worship Him in prayer. And at the same time, He can talk to us. He can reveal His heart and His will and His purposes through the Holy Spirit as we pray. So prayer is for the benefit of both of us, for helping us to give ourselves to God and for helping God to reveal, you know, His purposes here on this earth. So it's a two-way street. And that's the way God designed it. Because He's the one who started prayer. So what happens when we pray? Well, first off, in 1 John 5:14, it says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's cool. So the first thing we need to know is that when we are led by the Spirit of God and we pray, it says according to His will, which that means the Holy Spirit's going to have to help us. So when we are praying Spirit-led prayers, God hears our prayers. There is never a time when God does not hear that prayer. He's not busy over there so that He can't come here. When we pray, God, our Father, is actually listening to us. We're not praying to the walls. We're not praying so other people can hear us pray. Our Daddy, who loves us with a never-ending love, an all-consuming love, is waiting. He's waiting for us to come and talk to Him. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers." His ears are attentive to their prayers. Have you ever been in an intensive care unit at the hospital? Or maybe you've been there with somebody. You're loaded up. You got all kinds of tubes stuck in you. You got monitors on you. You got a blood pressure cuff on you. You got all these machines and these whirring sounds. You got, you know, bells and buzzers and alarms that go off. And when they do, the nurse comes running in. You know, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know, and they check on you. And you're laying there and the technician comes in, takes blood. Somebody else comes in, takes your blood pressure, your blood oxygen level, your pulse rate. The doctors come in. They ask you questions. They send you down for more tests. It's intensive. That's why they call it intensive care unit, right? You don't get to sleep. You don't get to sleep at all because it's so intense in there. That's called being attentive. They're really looking out for you in there so you don't die on their watch. Well, it tells us God's ears are attentive to our prayers. That's what's happening. God is waiting. He's listening. He's available. It's like we were the only one in the world, and God is there just waiting for you to come and speak to Him. My mom, when I tell her I'm coming over, if I say I'm going to be there in 20 minutes, in 10 to 15 minutes, she's at the door waiting. When somebody comes to install a window, which just happened recently, she's up all night thinking about it. And in the next morning, she's up at the crack of dawn getting things ready and waiting and looking for them to come in. That's just how she is. She's attentive. So I don't call her now until I'm right down the corner. Because I don't want her to have to wait all morning long. Because if I call her and say I'm coming over and something comes up, then she's standing there waiting. God's ears are attentive to the prayers of the righteous. And who's that? Us. His children. His children who are led by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to pray. He's waiting for us to come and speak to Him. And He's anxious to hear from us and also to answer us. He wants to give us His love, His information. He wants to share His heart with us. Our prayers are special to God. Did you know in Revelations 5:8, it's telling us about a scene in heaven where the angels are up there and the 24 elders are up in heaven and they're singing and they're worshiping the Lord. And then it says in verse 8, that the 24 elders were each holding golden bowls full of incense. And you know what this incense is made of? Golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Our prayers are a sweet fragrance to God. You see, they tell Him that we believe in Him. They tell Him that this body, this realm that we live in, this earthly realm, that we're breaking out of this realm, that by the Spirit we're rising above the earth and our worries and our concerns and our flesh. We're reaching out and reaching for Him. And He loves it. He loves it when His people pray to Him. It's a sweet fragrance to Him. He's never, ever too busy to hear your prayers. Another example of God hearing our prayers. Daniel 9:20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making a request to the Lord my God for His holy hill, while I was still in prayer, this is Daniel talking, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. See, as soon as he began to pray, this word went out and the angel came to him. Now, here's another instance. You may have heard of this one. It's Daniel again. And it says, this is in Daniel 10:11. Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. His words of what? Words of prayer. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained with the king of Persia. See, there was stuff going on in the heavenlies. It reveals a little bit. Well, first off, it also tells us that prayers aren't necessarily always answered right away. He said it took 21 days to get there. But more importantly, it's talking here that these prayers, when Daniel was praying, he set something in motion. Some things began to stir in the heavenly realms. Spirit-led prayers can often involve spiritual battles. Remember, the war that we fight, the battle that we fight is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in high places. And we have heavenly weapons. We have, and one of those, the main weapon is prayer. Our prayers are a mighty force, a powerful force, an effective force for overcoming evil with good, in defeating the kingdom of darkness in areas that we don't even know about. We get a glimpse, We get a glimmer. We get somewhat of an understanding, and we don't even know for sure. But remember, the Holy Spirit in us, He knows. And so if He knows and He's leading us to pray and we start praying, next thing you know, there are things happening in the spiritual realm. Things are changing. Things are breaking. Walls are being destroyed. Battles fought. Forces brought down. Demonic forces. God has used His angels countless times besides Daniel. Remember when Peter was in prison and the saints, it says, were all praying for him? They were back at the ranch praying. You know, and it was an angel that let him loose. That night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side to wake him up. This angel literally touched him. I mean, wake up, Peter. Can't you tell? Won't you see my light? You're supposed to be afraid so I can say, be not afraid. Isn't that what they usually say? That's one of the few times when he didn't say that. Instead, he said, get up. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. The angel got him out of there. In Luke 22:41, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where's Ricardo? Ricardo was asking me about this day. He was strengthened by an angel. It says in Luke 22:41, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, and not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood spilling to the ground. That was a tough time. But there was an angel there to help him, to strengthen him. In Hebrews 13:2, we're told something that is really amazing when you think about it. Almost unbelievable, in fact. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's a reality, folks. This is not games. This is not just fairy tales. This is what the Word of God says. Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Who is that? That's us. When we pray to God, we may very well be empowering angels to do God's work. I know way too many people are out there that are not Christians. Sometimes they can be a little weird. And they're almost worshiping angels. They got little angels all over their house. They got them hanging here. They got them hanging there. They're almost like good luck charms to them. And what better way for the devil to work than to make a mockery of angels and to make them seem like it's just foolishness. And they make stories, you know, and, you know, they do all these things and they make it seem like, you know, that could never happen. But I'll tell you what, I think angels are underrated. And I think demons are overrated. Remember, demons are nothing but bad angels that got kicked out of heaven. They got sent to their room, which is hell. And you know, there's twice as many angels as there are demons. And yet, we attribute all these powers to demons. They make everybody sin. They hold all these people captive. They do all this stuff. It's demonic. It's demonic. They possess them. Where's the angels in all this? They're out there. They're there too. And they were sent by God to minister to His saints. And we saw all kinds of examples in the Bible. This is not just one or two. This is many, many examples. So I believe in angels. Can our prayers change God's will? Well, there's a tricky one. Well, I can say this. Prayer will never change God's ultimate purpose, His master plan. Our prayer is not going to change His purpose. But we have certainly seen many times that prayer has changed God's stated intentions or His upcoming plan, or at least something that He said was going to happen. When Moses prayed for 40 days, remember, God was going to destroy Israel as a nation. He was tired of them. Moses prayed, God, and he prayed for 40 days. God, spare this nation. What will it look like if you destroy your people? What will people think of you? He used every trick in the book he could. He didn't have to do all those tricks. Say all that. God heard his prayer, and God spared the nation of Israel. You remember when Jonah went to go pray for the Ninevites? He tried to run away. Then he finally relented, and he went to pray, and he was all anxious. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. He had popcorn, everything. He was sitting on the shore, waiting for Nineveh to be destroyed. And then, what did Nineveh do? These horrendous people that should have been destroyed, they put on sackcloth and ashes. They actually literally repented. And so God spared them and the whole city. You remember when Abraham asked God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, what if we find 50 good people? What if we find 40? How about 30, God? How about 20? How about 10? Sure, okay, all right. If you find 10, I'll spare them. So he was ready. Unfortunately, he couldn't even find 10. Remember the story of King Hezekiah. This is the one I'm going to read because I thought this was a pretty cool one. Isaiah 38:1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. You're going to die. You will not recover." This is one of God's most famous prophets. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully. And with wholehearted devotion I have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now obviously God must have had pity on him, or he had mercy on him, because it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life.'" Pretty amazing, isn't it? So apparently, prayer really can change things. So we need to know that. That can happen. Things can change. It's not going to change God's ultimate plan. But individual circumstances, He can deal with that. I mean, if something gets in our way, I mean, we deal with it and we move on. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." See, His purpose will prevail. Ephesians 1:11 tells us that God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. So see, even if He does allow Hezekiah to live 15 more years, He still works it all together so that His will comes to pass. If you know the story, it didn't actually work out all that great for Hezekiah, even though he got the extra time. How come we pray and sometimes God doesn't answer us? Well, don't worry. As we talked about earlier, God hears our prayers. But it's actually a good thing that He doesn't answer our prayers all the time. At least, you know, not on our schedule and not the way we ask Him. Have you ever said something like, "Oh God, I wish I were dead"? Did you ever say that? You ever heard somebody say that? I've heard plenty of people say, what if God says, well, okay. You know, your leg is killing you. Oh, man, I wish I could just cut this leg off. Out comes the knife. It's gone. Now, we wouldn't want that kind of stuff to happen. God knows that, you know, what's supposed to happen. I'm sure we've all made some crazy statements that we would, I mean, we might be thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, you know. What if we said something about somebody else when we were kids? Almost every parent would be dead. So would all the kids. We'd all be dead. There'd be nobody left. James 4:3 says, we didn't receive because we asked with the wrong motives. See, we don't ask with the right motives, so God's not going to answer when we're trying. We've said this many times already, that God is not going to answer the prayers of our flesh. He's not going to pump up our flesh and build up our flesh and make it stronger and pull us away from Him, give us things that turn us away from Him. Why would He do that? Just to please our immediate desire. 1 John 5:14 says that we have to ask according to His will. According to His will. That means that, you know, God has perfect timing. You know, when Jesus came into the earth, onto the earth, it says that He came at just the right time. They had been praying for the Messiah, but the Messiah didn't come when they prayed. Then when the Messiah came, then they didn't want Him. Because they couldn't believe that Jesus, a man from Nazareth, could have been the Messiah. So maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's we're not playing for the right place, or we're not praying the right person, the right thing, because if we're asking as we just out of our flesh, if we're not led by the Spirit, we may be asking with the wrong motives. If we are perfectly in tune with God, we're like that, and we're led by His Spirit because we're filled up with the Spirit like Jesus was. If we could be in that spot like Jesus, remember when Jesus prayed, it happened. But honestly, I think that God is doing us a favor by not answering all of our prayers all the time. He knows the state of our heart. He knows that we're obviously not always led by the Spirit of God. There may be much we have to learn. There may be things that we have to go through before prayers can be answered. God knows what we need. If that prayer is of His will, of course it'll be answered. But it's like Pastor Don was saying, sometimes we need that stick. We need to be prodded along. That discipline can lead to a harvest of righteousness so that we can be that righteous man that prays and has an effective prayer life. But if we're wild and crazy and rebellious, you think God's going to answer all of our prayers then? Unanswered prayer should always cause us to examine ourselves. Not blame God right away. We should be examining ourselves. Is there something I'm doing wrong? And draw closer to God. Pull in closer and not turn away, but pull in closer. We want to find out what are the real motives. Why did I pray that? Do I really have a proper understanding of the Scriptures? Jesus had to reprimand people. He says, you don't understand the Scriptures. And that happens to us. Sometimes we're praying and we don't understand what God would have in that situation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. God loves us so much that He will risk not answering our prayer. He will risk losing our immediate affections when He knows that if He gave us what we asked for, it would hurt us. Doesn't that make sense? How many of you would allow your 12-year-old to drive the car? Here's the keys, be back by midnight. Or how many of you would allow your 13-year-old daughter to go out with a 19 or 21-year-old boy who's got raging hormones and they're going to the drive-in? No. The answer is no. I hate you. I wish you were dead. And then they get their prayer answered and we die on the spot, right? Of course not. That's why we're thankful that God doesn't answer every prayer like that. So sometimes we don't get what we want. That's life, isn't it? We don't always get what we want, but should we stop praying? Of course not. It's unfortunate, but many people do. They just quit praying. They just don't even bother with it anymore. If the air in your house gets stale or there's an odor in there, do you quit breathing it? You know, if you don't get the food that you ordered, you get mad at the waitress, or you don't get your donut upstairs, do you quit eating? No. If you do, you die. Well, if you quit praying, you're threatening your spiritual life, your communication with God. If we abandon our relationship with God, if we just let it fall by the wayside, our spiritual well-being is at stake. We need to pray. So even when we don't get what we want, the answer then is to persevere, to examine our heart, to examine the Scriptures, to call out to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Teach me. Show me. God's looking for a praying people. My house shall be called a house of prayer, a house of worship. He wants us to be prayers and worshipers. God's looking for people who want to get close to Him. We've looked at a few things that happen when we pray, but I'm going to tell you, I just touched on them. The list is endless of things that can happen when we pray. You know, revival can break out when people commit to pray. Loved ones can get saved. Bodies can be healed. Hearts can be healed. Marriages can be restored. Jobs can be found. I mean, you name it, whatever it is. The list goes on and on and on of all the wonderful things that can happen in prayer. Remember this, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or all we pray for and imagine, according to His power that's at work within us. So prayer can accomplish a lot. And then it says, according to His power, the Holy Spirit, that is at work within us. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, to have greater reign inside of us, to train us up in righteousness, to teach us God's ways, to help us understand the Scriptures, to help us understand God's heart, as we learn all that and we begin to get hold of God and begin to pray, we're going to see our prayers are going to become more powerful and more effective. You know, the Holy Spirit, He loves to bring honor and glory to God. You know that? And He wants us to pray. He wants to help us to pray, even when we don't know how, because He wants to bring that glory to God. Because when God answers prayer and we speak it out, we pray it out, and then God answers prayer and we see the signs and wonders, who gets the glory? God. I could have the prayer team come forward. I'll just end by saying this, that God's love for you is so far-reaching. He loves us with this never-ending love. And I believe that it's His desire, it's God's desire to be able to answer every prayer that He can for us. Wouldn't you want to be able to answer your child's requests if they were perfectly in tune with yours and you had the wisdom to know what to want and your child came and asked you for that and you had the means to be able to do that, which God has all the means, wouldn't you want to bless your child and give them what they ask for? Of course you would. Our Father is way beyond us. He knows exactly what we need. He has all the means available to make it come to pass. And He knows how it's all going to work out in the end. And when it's going to work out right, when it's His will, that's why it has to be His will. It's not that He's this braggart that says, yeah, you got to do it my way. It's that He knows that His will is what's good. It's what's going to work out. It's what's proper and right. It's the way it has to be that God's going to put His stamp on it of approval. So when that happens, God, of course God wants to answer our prayers. It all boils down to us being one with the Father. Just as Jesus prayed, that we would be one with the Father. And loving Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the only way we can do that, the only way we can love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, is as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You have made prayer available to us, a way to communicate with You, Lord God. Lord, I pray that we would have a greater and greater understanding of prayer, that we would be more and more faithful in prayer, and that our prayers would become more and more powerful and effective as we learn and grow and become more and more as You want us to be, Lord God, as we're led by Your Spirit. Do a miracle in every one of us, Lord God. And use us. Use us, Lord God, to be miracle workers here on this earth as we pray Your will and see it accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Okay, we do have coffee and donuts upstairs. So stick around. Thanks for coming out. God bless you.
As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hands healing? Why aren't His words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way. Traveler is far. body.